Praise the Lord. I enjoy the speaking of the Lord through the brothers. What can we say? The Lord is living. God's word is living. And may the Lord find such faithful messengers over all the earth and awaken them. It's so necessary for today. Everywhere, whether it's in the world or amongst us Christians, there are very few who speak the truth. It requires courage and the knowledge and the filling of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth. It's so necessary to hear the word of the Lord, and not just to hear it, but afterwards to also do it. As James said, do not just be hearers, but be doers. And of course, the word also says, do not be those who are just teachers, because you will receive more stripes if you are teachers and you don't practice what you speak. Do not just be teachers, but you have to do it. And do not only be hearers, but be doers of the word. It's so important. We all Christians, we have heard so much already. There's no lack on messages. In my life, I have heard thousands of messages. If I would just do a tenth of everything that I knew and made it my reality, my daily life, that would be glorious. Ask yourself, how much of what we have heard and read in the Bible, or what we have heard of the speaking of the Lord, how much have we transferred into reality? Have we actually done in our daily life, in your family life? I enjoyed the word of the brothers about the families, about the family life. It's so practical. And this must be our experience. How is it in your family? How is it with our children? God desires holy offspring. Godly seed, yeah, holy seed. It's so important, so practical. God doesn't just want to speak to us and to give us knowledge and exposition of the Bible, interpretations. He wants to give us nourishment, the truth. The truth has been given to us not so that we would know it, but that we would live it. You do not live by the word, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word is for life, for living, so that we would be strengthened into the inner man, that we would glorify God in our daily life, that God's purpose with us would be fulfilled, especially the priesthood, the priestly service. As one brother said in the message, the fullness does not come from one who stands in the front and speaks. That's not the fullness. The fullness comes from all the saints who share their personal living experience of Christ and bring them as offerings to the Father. Firstly, bring them as offerings to the Father. Then all the priests who are there also receive a portion of it. Then, in the end, the whole church, the whole priesthood would be nourished and strengthened, and God would be glorified through it. And as Malachi said, then the nations will see something, and they will glorify his name. In contrast, if we do not do that, then his name will be defiled through our conduct. How glorious it would be when the offerings that we bring the Father will become richer, full of reality, full of substance of Christ. That's not a teaching. Praise the Lord for the word of the Lord in Malachi. The last book is always the most important. And today, we come to the last verses. I believe I don't have much more to say. The Lord already said everything, at least in this time to us. It's so rich and so practical. It is no teaching, no interpretation of the Bible. For in these last years, surely, the Lord has given the saints many experiences through the priesthood in their daily living. We all need to treasure this priestly service more and enrich it, especially in our experience. From a turtle dove to an ox, it has to become rich, more rich, richer, and more established, more concrete. Through the reality in our daily living. So the last part of the outline is the great and dreadful day of God's wrath. Do you think about it or not? Who thinks about it? Good. Praise the Lord, Martin. Who does not think about it? I do not believe that that person would have the fear of the Lord in a proper way. Or to the right degree. The great day of God's wrath. The great and dreadful day of God's wrath. You know, many Christians do not believe that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Martin, did you think about that? That you have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and then give an account of your life, of your conduct, what you do with your body, how you deal with things. That's why Paul also said it, but Peter said, as we see that the day is approaching, what kind of holy conduct we must have in godliness and fear, reverent fear. That we should be holy and without blame. Have you thought of that at the coming of the Lord, we all have to stand before him holy and without blame? That's why in the last years, the Lord emphasized in the holy priesthood that we have to pursue holiness, without which no one can see God. So I need to ask myself, have we seen him? And how have we seen him? How do we see him? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are those who are pure of heart, for they shall see God." How often do you see God? How often do you behold him? Sanctification is so important. Paul also says, before the foundation of the world, before even God created the earth, he already predestined us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "May the God of peace sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body." In the past, I said more oftentimes we use this verse to emphasize not the sanctification, but to emphasize that the man has three parts. Isn't that true, Glenn? Every time when we use this verse, the emphasis is not the sanctification, that the God of peace sanctify us completely, but the emphasis is that the man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Then he says that we would be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, at his coming. If we truly have the fear of the Lord, and that we fear him, this is a positive fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul had such a fear. That's why he exercised himself in all things to be well-pleasing to God, because he feared God. He had this godly fear before God. Read it for yourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Before you do something, think, what is God going to say? Don't just look left and right, but you don't look up. You're not looking. You're just looking left and right to make sure nobody sees you, and then you'll do it. You didn't know that there's one who is not just sitting up there, but there's one who's even dwelling in you. The fear of the Lord. It's not a fearful kind of fear so that you're so nervous at the end. Then we would all be nervous Christians. This is not what I mean. But a godly fear, because we love him. Because we know him. He is a righteous God, a holy God, a God of who is glorious. He is the God of glory. We have more fear of man than from God. than of God. I've seen this in these last 50 to 60 years of my Christian life. We listen to man and not to God. We like to listen to nice messages, but we don't hear this voice of the Holy Spirit. We don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, but just have an ear to hear what Apostle so-and-so is speaking or what the pastor is speaking. We give honor to man and not to God. And if this man or a certain man says something which is completely different from what God is speaking, then we fear man and hear what man says and not what God is saying. I have seen this everywhere. And then they claim there are men who says, I am the apostle. I am the elder. You should listen to me. My goodness. Such men are greater than God. But not just such men, but even you and I. In the end, whatever you say counts, and not what the others say. We're all like that. We don't have the fear of God. Maybe we know. We might know the verse. And we know that we should have the fear of God. But in our life, we have no fear. I do whatever I want to do. Whatever I like, whatever my flesh says. And as a brother testified in the message, in the word that he spoke, we do what is a gain to us. And if the Lord blew it away, I think, oh, I didn't do it well enough, so I'll try and do it even better. Then I'll try again to do it better. But we don't realize, have any idea, that the Lord called the devourer. And everything that you have sown was destroyed by the devourer. Have you ever thought that everything that we have, our bank account, our nice car, the house, everything that you own, that it would disappear? Everything will disappear just like smoke. As the psalmist said, your riches will have wings and fly away. And what remains? What do we have left when everything disappears and everything is burned up? What is remaining? Then we have to think about it a little. Because if everything is taken away, what do I have left? It's not about who is right. Of course, it's good to be right. If I'm only right and that's all, so what? What remains? In this time that we live in is a warning to us. Even here in the U.S., we can... The enemy... Can you hear me? People have evil in their hearts and they want to destroy everything. They want to take away everything from the people. They want to rule over everything.
Then thus.
Then what? We live in a special age. I don't want to speak about teachings now, but he who speaks the truth will be censored. Everything that is concerning the truth, the media is censoring and taking it away. Can you imagine that? So that people will only hear the lie. What is that? We are not living in communist countries. They want to take away your freedom. They want to destroy everything. And they want to rule the earth. They are preparing for the coming of the beast. And for what? And what are we preparing ourselves for? We should be preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. The world is preparing for something, right? For the coming of the beast. That's terrible. Today, we have to use the time to prepare for the coming of our Lord, his return. And this return, Malachi already speaks about 400 years before the first coming of the Lord. He already said this, that the coming of the Lord will be a great and dreadful day of God's wrath. That is why we said that Malachi speaks about the coming of Messiah, but he didn't realize that there were two comings. The first coming for salvation and redemption, and the second coming, which is for the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the day of judgment. We have to read Revelation chapter 6 and 7. From 6 and 7 on, then we can see that the last 3.5 years from the great day of God's wrath. You speak of the great tribulation, but Revelation said exactly what Malachi said in Revelation chapter 6 at the sixth seal. In the end, the whole world will know that the great day of God's wrath will come. Who can stand? Where will you hide? Revelation and Malachi are each the end of the last book. One is from the last book in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, and Revelation is the last book in the New Covenant, the New Testament. And both books are speaking of the great day of God's wrath. Do you not have any fear? Do we live in such a way, and do we conduct ourselves in such a way that we are shortly before the great day of God's wrath? I believe if we live in the Spirit and if we read the Word, it will burn like an oven. Like an oven. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, in an oven, you can regulate the temperature. Remember, the first time a great furnace was mentioned. Which book? Toby, which book was it? The first time where you heard of such a great furnace. In Daniel. Exactly. The heat was so great. You just had to come near it. You didn't even have to be thrown in. You just had to come near enough to the furnace and you will die. You would be reduced to ashes. But for those who really fear God and who are sanctified and holy and who are absolute and who are overcomers and who stand for the truth and who stand on God's side, even if they will be thrown into the furnace, for them, it's as if they got a fresh shower. They were even cleaner and more pure. And the Lord was with them. They were refined. The others were burned and died. This is how it is today. It depends now on us. As in the book of Revelation, are you one who is faithful? Are you one who is an overcomer? Are you one who really has an ear to hear the voice of the Lord today? You know, to hear the voice of the Lord today is not just to hear it. Oh yeah, I heard it. Yes, we all heard the messages, but you don't hear that. If you don't practice it, then you did not hear anything. You can sit there. You can be faithful to sit there and hear. That's easy. We have two ears. But to hear means to obey. So if you hear and afterwards you don't do it, that means you didn't hear it. Because you are not a doer of the word. As James said, you look into the mirror, you see yourself, you see your face, but as soon as you leave, you forgot everything that you saw. And if we hear like that, then we don't need to have any more conferences. No. But we must be doers of the word. And when we teach, don't just look at those who hear, but at those who teach. If we are teachers and do not do it ourselves of what we're teaching, what did James say? We will receive many more stripes. More stripes than those who are hearers. The fear of the Lord is so important. The return of the Lord is like a furnace, an oven. And all those who are proud and all those who do wickedly and lawlessly, they will be fully burned up. As Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the coming of the Lord will be like a fire and will test the work to the work of the Christians to see what materials we have used. In the work. Did we do the works out of ourselves with our own strength and our own concepts? Or is it gold, silver, and precious stones? The fire will expose and reveal it. And if somebody's work is burnt, don't think that all the ministry or work that we have done will stand the test. We will see, and it will be exposed when the Lord comes back. But today we have to be sure ourselves. We need to be sure. I want to be sure. How often do you ask the Lord if what you are doing and what you are thinking and what you're saying, and you're especially in your service for the Lord, whether it is of Him and not what you desire, what you like to do, but that which is well-pleasing to the Father, what is well-pleasing to Him. The Lord said, I do all things, all the time I do what is well-pleasing to the Father. And Paul said the same thing because he had the fear of the Lord, but he did not just have the fear, but the love for the Father. Love plus fear, the godly fear, is a very effective mixture for us. A blend. Love without fear is not good, and fear without love also isn't good. But love plus fear, 50-50% of each, or maybe 80-20%, or 75% and 25% fear. More love than fear, maybe that's better. God is light and God is love. Light exposes, but love covers all. So please. You cannot just cover what will not be exposed. God is light and God is love. Light without love is not good. Love without fear of the Lord is not good. Praise the Lord for His word. That's why Isaiah told us that the word, those who fear the Lord, fear the word. What does it mean to fear the word? When we spoke concerning it, then people were criticizing us. Oh no, for them it's not about enjoying the word, but now it is hearing the word. Who says that if I have fear of the word of God, that I can't enjoy it anymore? Who says that? When it's hot, when it gets hot, and when the food on the table is so hot, you can't eat it because you're fearful of the heat. You have to blow and you have to wait till it's not so hot anymore. Then you eat the food, right? Otherwise, it'll burn your tongue and burn your lips and your throat. The word of the Lord is effective. The word of the Lord is living. And it is sharper, sharp as a two-edged sword. These three things are present in God's word. You just want to hear sweet words or nice teachings. But how about with a sharp two-edged sword that will pierce through and expose what's in your heart? All your thoughts are exposed. And nothing is hidden before Him. How often does the Word of God expose you and corrects and chastens you and judges you? This judgment is not for death, but it's for healing. For healing. That's why today we have to live in such a way that we would be prepared to stand before the judgment. Can you imagine the coming of the Lord. But for those, as the three friends of Daniel, this fire was wonderful. It was for their refining. The gold will be more refined, and the silver will be refined more. How many things are still in our being that need to be burned? And some things, without fire, they will not be taken away, not be removed. This is really true. I don't know about your experience. There is a proverb or a saying, if children don't burn themselves on the fire themselves, they won't learn. But if a child touches and burns a finger, then the next time they won't do it again. They won't come near the fire. This is how it is. There are things that through the living word of God and the love of the Lord will be chastened in us. God's word is very important. His living speaking is important. Praise the Lord for this. And then, for the overcomers, for the faithful, actually, it's not a furnace, but the sun. The sun. The sun is also very hot. It's not just very hot, but when you come near to the sun, it's even more terrible than an oven. But this sun, to us, it is the sun of righteousness. The sun of righteousness. I love this sun. The sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings to those who fear his name. The oven is for the proud and for the wicked. They will fully be burnt up. But this sun is in contrast to the oven. The oven is for the refinement of gold and silver, and for the living children of God who fear God, the children who fear God. He is the sun of righteousness, and the rays of this wonderful sun of righteousness are for the healing. It is a light that heals us. The sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The rays are like the wings. It makes everything alive. Just as this wonderful Son of God, the great high priest who walks amongst the golden lampstands, his face shines like the sun in all its strength. That is wonderful. It's wonderful. That is the healing. Everybody needs this light. We walk in this light, and it heals us. What can we say? And today, we have such a wonderful high priest, not just who is before the Father and who is interceding and praying for us so that we would be saved to the uttermost. But in a very practical way, he is walking amongst the golden lampstands. But his walking in the middle of the lampstands is for the healing. What is healing? If you do not know that you are sick, if you always think that you're right, then it is not possible to experience this healing. Look at the speaking of the Lord to the seven churches. Did he just speak loving words? Words that they wanted to hear? But they were strong words. He wasn't trying to just be angry at them, but he wanted to expose their condition because those people did not realize what their condition was. Just as the priests here in Malachi didn't know. What? You loved us? How did you love us? What? We did this? How did we despise your table? How did we do that? They had no sensitivity, no feeling. They lost all sensitivity. What? You still want us to return to you? What did we do? How should we return to you? We are for you fully. What do you mean we still have to return to you? What? We spoke evil of you? How did we do that? They had no idea. They didn't know anything. Don't think that the Lord was angry with them. No. I'm not angry, but that he was, at the very beginning, God already told them he loved them. But if we say something, when children do something bad, then the parents will rant against them or scold them, but they don't do it with love. And if we deal with us in such a way, with scolding, then in the end, we will cut each other off. We'll cut the fingers and the thumbs up off and the ears off, and then we'll have a body without the ears and without the feet. You'll just cut my foot, and I'll cut off your foot. Then what will come of the body of Christ? What will remain? This is not a scolding, but it is a salvation. It is the light of the Lord. And that is the chastening of the Lord, because God loves us just as the Lord said to the church in Laodicea, those whom I love, I chasten. Let the Lord shine on us with his light for healing. The speaking of the Lord in Malachi and to the seven churches in Asia are for healing, so that they would turn, so they would turn back, so the Lord could return to them. God loves us. Do not think that he hates you. No. He hates lawlessness and evil and sin. But he does not hate us, his children. Of course, he hates the evil, the lawlessness, and the unrighteousness. But he wants to save us. He wants to save our soul. If we chasten those and saints who might have done something wrong, it's not for them to be destroyed, but it should be for their salvation, for their healing. The love for the saints should come out in our hearts, just as the Lord loves for us. That's why I'm still alive today. Praise the Lord. That's why you also have not died. You're all here in the hall, sitting together. Isn't that wonderful? Look, I see all the saints. that I've seen for so many years, and you have not died yet. You're still there. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord loves us and he wants to heal us. And he wants to chasten us. And he must speak the truth to us in love. Whether we want to hear or not, maybe today we won't hear it, but tomorrow we'll hear it. The Lord is giving us so many chances. He has given us so many opportunities to repent. That's why it says in each epistle, in every epistle in Revelation, it says, repent. If not, then this and that will happen. But repent, and he who overcomes will receive a reward. There's still time to repent. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the time has been lengthened a little bit more. I'm happy that it's lengthened. Every month where there's more time is salvation for me. Of course, I'd like to see that the Lord will come tomorrow, but on the other hand, Lord, I'm not ready yet. Give me a little bit more time. Isn't that wonderful? But I want to show you that the time is not so long anymore. Hebrews, as well as in Malachi, it's the Lord is saying, I'm coming just a little while, and he will come. And in Revelation, chapter 22, you can see, behold, there's more time. Wait with patience. I come sometime. No, he doesn't say that. He says, behold, I am coming quickly. I'm coming soon. Especially in this time, the Lord will come soon. The signs of the times are clear. Lord, what shall we still say? The word is short, living, and to the point in Malachi. I already spoke too much. Lord, we need healing. Lord, I need healing. If the Lord is still not coming yet, it's for our healing. As Peter said, the Lord wants us to be fully matured, that we would belong to the first fruits, that we would be made perfect, that his work would be made perfect in each one of us. Is that not wonderful? We are his workmanship, his masterpiece. If it's not perfected yet, then there won't be glory. There won't be any glory for the master. People will say, Lord, your masterpiece isn't finished yet. There's still some things missing. The Lord will perfect his work with us. And we need to think and praise him and believe, especially believe, Lord, finish your work in me. Complete your work in me. The faster, the better. Then the Lord wrote concerning the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. And here we can see Moses and Elijah. It's so wonderful that these two witnesses, especially for the people of Israel, they're necessary for the people of Israel. In Revelation 11, these two witnesses, for sure, are these, literally these two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. But spiritually, for us, we have to see the spiritual significance. What the Lord said, his commandments, Many people say, oh, we don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. What do you mean you don't need them anymore? Or the ordinances, we don't need them anymore. We don't need the offerings. The sanctification, the priesthood, we don't need that. That's in the Old Testament. I've heard this too often. Who says that? There is the spiritual reality. What did the Lord say concerning Moses? Think about Moses and the Ten Commandments. That's for you. But in Luke, what did the Lord say? The law of Moses is speaking about whom? Speaking of the law? Speaking of the ordinances? Somebody help me. I don't know. I can't understand. Manolo. What is Moses speaking about? The Lord said very clearly that he's speaking concerning me. No, Moses was talking about the commandments and Leviticus. Then we have to listen properly. Yeah. The Lord said, Moses speaks concerning me. And even Paul, in Romans chapter 3, it says, we don't nullify the law, but we establish the law. It means that the Lord will fulfill this law in us in Romans chapter 8, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But that means we must be those who walk according to the Spirit. And the more we walk according to the Spirit, the more we will enjoy the Word. Not just Moses speaks of him, but even the prophets speak concerning me, and the Psalms speak concerning me, and David, and Asaph, and the sons of Korah, they're all prophets. They all speak concerning the Lord. They speak about me, Isaiah, Jeremiah. What is Malachi speaking about? About the Lord. Is that the Old Testament? What did you gain from the book of Malachi? Is that of the Old Testament? No. I have to explain 1,000 times what the Old Testament and the Old Covenant means. From Genesis to Malachi, that is not the Old Covenant. It is the Holy Scripture, the living Word of God. It is the breath of God. Just as Paul said in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and serves for and is necessary for our perfection. It helps us to be perfected so that the man of God will be complete. We need this word. Father God, we need the word from Moses. I treasure the Ten Commandments. Don't you? Or are you free to lie? Or you do not need to honor your parents anymore? Or you do not need to keep the Sabbath anymore? No. Sabbath is for us every day. The Lord is our rest. And we need to cease from our own works. That is the reality of the Sabbath. You can't say, oh, the Sabbath is Old Testament, of the Old Testament. No, I am constantly keeping a feast of the Sabbath. I want to cease from my own works. The Lord does everything. He did everything. He accomplished everything. What can you add to salvation? And who is building the church? Why are there so many problems and divisions in the church? Because they are man's work. If we all enter his rest and let the Lord build, and we build together with him, then everything will be good. But if we mix ourselves into it and poke our nose into it and say, Lord, you sit on the throne up there, just let us build down here, then it'll be chaotic. We need the law and the ordinances and the judgments. We need the judgments, the statutes, and the prophets, Elijah. Praise the Lord. Elijah doesn't just prophesy, but he has the power and the spirit of the Lord. It requires this strength and spirit today. Otherwise, our words are powerless. What use is it if what we speak is without power and without spirit, but it's just the right teaching or some interpretation of the Bible? That's why it's not effective. It doesn't affect any change. Year after year, week after week, we remain the same, and we think that we're serving God. And what is the result? Year after year, we're the same. No transformation, no sanctification, no change. We're not sanctified. We still live in our flesh. Because our teachings, even if they were the right teachings, it's without power and without spirit. And how do we know that it is without power and spirit? Because it was not effective. It did not work. Paul said, you want a proof who speaks in me, namely Christ. What was the proof? The proof is not, oh yeah, prove in the Bible, see whether what I said was biblical. No. But the proof was that there was strength in you, power in you, that it was effective and working in the hearers. If it's not effective, it is not the speaking of God. What is the fruit? The fruit, the effectiveness. How effective is this word? Does it cause change? Does it cause glory? Is God expressed through it? Have we matured spiritually? This is what we have to see. And the end is wonderful. Malachi 4 verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This should be the result. All the saints who are living, we are all rebellious, each of us. I have not met anyone who's not rebellious. And the best that I know is myself, and I'm so rebellious. I don't know if you're rebellious. I assume that all people are rebellious, but I know that I am rebellious. But praise the Lord. even those who are rebellious, the Lord will subdue them and will take them and transform them for the building of his body, for his house. The building of his house, as it says in Psalm 68. And also what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, that he ascended on high and led the captivity captive. We were the rebellious ones. In Psalm 68, verse 18, and he changed us and transformed us so that we could be useful and priests in his house. Isn't that wonderful? This should be the result, that we all, that many people should turn and repent, to turn their hearts to the Father. He is our Father. And his heart, instead of judging us because we were sinners, now the Father has returned to us in love. See what great love the Father has for us, that we who are sinners should be called children of God. Is that not a great love? And this should be the result of the priestly service. That we all in the house of the Lord, we should have such a love and honor to the Father, and that the Father would be so satisfied and love us, and that he would finish his work, complete his work in us. If not, if we are still remaining rebellious and do not want to listen, then the word says, lest I come and strike the earth with curse when I return. That means today there still is one opportunity, a chance to repent and return to the Father. Don't you want to take this opportunity? Don't we all want to use this opportunity and chance? It doesn't matter what was in the past. Forget your past. I forget the things that are behind. Are you doing that? Even God forgets the past. If God would not forget our past, then we would all be done. But why will you not forget the past? Not only your past, but the past of all who offended you, or who had something against you, or who sinned against you, or who owed you something. Let us turn to the Father. Who through Jesus Christ forgave all our sins. And God said in the new covenant, your sins I will always think about? No. The Lord has to change my tongue and cut it off and renew it. But he said, I will remember your sins no more. No more. Not always thinking about it. And if the Lord would not, if the Lord remembers your sins no more, then we also should forgive and forget the sins that others have committed to us. Is that not wonderful? Then our heart will be free. Amen. Praise the Lord. let us all go on, go forward. That is the most important thing. Let us go towards a goal and not always look back, but look forward. That's also what the Lord did. That's why he could take all the sufferings. Hebrews tells us that's why when he was on the cross, he was looking forward to the glory, to the wonderful glory that would begin. And now he's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. He is in the majesty on high. He is sitting there. Praise the Lord. And this is what we want to behold. Everything else is a distraction to us. Yes? What a book. And what an end. Ending. It's a wonderful ending of the book of Malachi. Amen. The hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's a very sweet word at the end. That is Malachi's goal. It's not the curse. But for us, it should be the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Malachi. Don't think of the accusations. This is healing. Are you thankful for Malachi? Amen. Praise the Lord. We have 10 more minutes before 12. So you could still have some fellowship, but let us all pray. Let us pray. Or have fellowship, whatever you would like. We are free.